Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Final hour of Ben and Woods here on a Tuesday. Woodsy is flying back from his Hawaiian vacation today and should be back in his chair tomorrow. But sitting in his chair right now for the final hour is my colleague at ABC 10 News, Wale Aliyu.
It's your, a comfortable chair, too, man.
You got an MLB hat on. Where'd you get that?
I got on the Padres when they announced Gallagher Square opening and all that fun. I was walking down there. They were going to have these hats. So,
you're wearing it at a cool kind of askew angle that I would not be able to pull off. My hat either has to be straight or it's just not going to be on my head.
Hello.
But, yes, I am. You're a little more loose and casual, I think.
Have you ever done a bro hug with this man?
No.
He can't do it.
I am physically incapable of it.
Well, I make fun.
His body, like, spasms, and he just doesn't know what to do.
No, Ben is cool. I make fun of him in the studio because I laugh the way he stands when he's reading the news. He kind of stands with, like, a...
He does power stance.
Yeah.
And Wally gave me a good trick, actually, just a few, couple months ago. I've been trying to putting one foot in front of the other as opposed to... kind of standing on the side like you're an offensive lineman ready to absorb
exactly.
a block.
And I'll explain the why behind that. So if anybody's watching on YouTube, if you can see me on YouTube, okay, there's my camera. So if I'm coming to you like, here's the news, come into my, you know, welcome into my house, I want to tell you everything that's going on. I'm kind of, it's like an offensive lineman, like I'm about to tackle you. But if I just kind of angle myself and like have one foot in front of the other, it's just more welcoming. Like, hey, come on inside.
You've received some coaching on this, haven't you? I've had to fill in on the anchor desk a couple of times.
Yes,
and I haven't gotten a lot of coaching on that. I remember once an old news director said, try putting your hands apart on the desk a little bit. It's more friendly. It looks a little bit more welcoming, but they do a lot of that.
Here's the news.
They do a lot of that coaching for us, ways you can relate through the camera. Yep. I don't even know if it's effective or not. I think you just kind of have to be yourself. You're very good at being yourself.
I have to be myself. I've tried being other people, and it does not work. Trust me.
So I wanted to ask you, before we get to the Rondo Report, how it's been working with the great Kimberly Hunt, who has obviously been in this market. I watched her when I was growing up, and then I've gotten to work with her the last 20 years. She's fantastic. I did find her at the beginning, though, a little intimidating to work with Kimberly Hunt. And I can tell you, I don't know if you felt the same way at all, but that wears off after, 10 years. And then I've been very comfortable with her for the last decade.
Kimberly is a sweetheart.
She's so professional. She's so good at what she does.
She is, but I'll tell you, we have a lot of fun. Kimberly and I, the first time I met her, we instantly hit it off. Like, I just came in to interview, and Kimberly and I instantly hit it off. And we're like, yeah, we could work together. Because she's 100%, she's the queen of San Diego, first of all, right? She always looks great on TV. I have people in town watching, who's that? She looks amazing. First and foremost, stunning. She's a queen. She always looks dressed to the nines. She's a queen. But she's a lot of fun. So if you guys are ever paying really close attention to the real 10 News viewers, watch us when we come back from a commercial break, because we might still be laughing about something that we were talking about during the commercial, because we were clowns. Some commercial come on TV. There's a commercial that's on right now, and it's like, I can't remember, it's some car commercial, but it's a guy having a horrible first date experience. Or he's like making the girl pay for the meal. Oh, yeah. He's like calls her sugar mama.
The automatic car pulls up. Yeah, I've seen that one.
We joke about that commercial all the time. And I'm like, Kim, a sugar mama. Like we're just having like a. So you'll see us.
Here's a picture of me lifting at the gym with my shirt off. Yeah, I've seen that commercial. Yeah.
Yes. Kimberly and I, we have a ton of fun together, and she's an absolute legend. She's very welcoming. I lean on her a lot. Like you said, she's been here for 30 years, so I can. If there's anything that I don't know about San Diego, she's the first one I'm calling.
All right. Think about what your craziest story is. We'll get to that in a little bit. Right now, though, Polly's got some other headlines for us with a very long intro to what we call the Rindle Report.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report. With Paul Reindel.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Reindel Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right.
All righty, Paulie. Before I forget, that reminds me, hearing all the drops from the open, we need to play for Wally. He probably has seen it somewhere. One of our favorite clips ever.
Uh-oh.
The anchor, the reporter in South Carolina, is it? Doing
oh,
his,
yes.
That's a great one. Hang on to that.
We have multiple news
We should bring up all of our news anchor clips that we like to play on the show.
Man,
so,
I'll load those up.
Worry about it. You'll be fine.
All right. Well, we'll start off in Major League Baseball. Jackson Holliday has had a lot of eyeballs on him throughout his young major league career. He was called up early in the season, struggled pretty well or pretty badly, and then was sent down to the minors, I think after
Orioles,
like nine or ten games.
They have so many options. They were like, all right, if you're not playing well, we don't need to keep you up here. I wonder what would have happened if Jackson Merrill had struggled like that. Fortunately for the Padres,
he never did.
He like right away, even as a rookie, was just basically productive and never really was threatened to take out of the lineup or even went, I mean, you know, some slumps, but nothing like you'd ever worry about him. Jackson Holliday, though, was really struggling and thought, all right, we need to send him back, which is a tough decision.
Well, he's been playing much better since they called him up. He's hitting well over 300 now with Baltimore, and saw this report the other day that he is crediting, or maybe it's being accredited for him, the video game Golden Tee is what has calmed him down and gotten him back on track. Guy writes, Orioles top prospect Jackson Holliday played the Golden Tee golf arcade game in the visiting clubhouse today. Said he started to hit in Norfolk when he began playing Golden Tee. He said he had a hole-in-one on a par 5 today, which meant a guaranteed 2 hits, and then he went out and got 2 hits.
I can almost see if you were playing MLB The Show, like, and you're doing well, but I don't know how Golden Tee, other than taking your mind off things.
It just clears the mind entirely, yeah.
Wally, you video games at all?
I'm not a huge video game fan, but when you first said Golden Tee, I'm thinking maybe he's like, it's not like a tee like a golf tee. It's like kind of like a tee with like herbs, and he's got a golden tee. That's when you said it's clearing his mind.
Tea.
I'm starting to think about some other kind of golden tee that he might be taking to calm down.
No, yeah, I used to play that. You find it still, you know, like in bars and stuff. It's it was always a popular game that you could play. Obviously, it feels a little dated compared to some of the new fangled games, which I can't quite grasp. I mean, video games have passed me. I used to be such a great, I mean, I'm a Legend of Zelda champion when I was a kid. The kids would, like, junior high would, like, call me up, like, how do I get past this? How do I get past this? I was the guy.
But it's good to just kind of take your mind off of it. I do understand it from the standpoint of, like, I nothing to do with baseball right now. Let me just kind of do my own thing, take my mind off it, and just relieves the pressure.
All right, well, it's working for him, and it's not as though the Orioles are, I mean, another weapon in that Orioles lineup, which is already pretty devastating, is just getting better now.
I think that story's a little tongue-in-cheek as well.
I'm sure
it was a lot of hard work and time in the batting cages that actually helped him out. But yeah,
well, obviously, the rally roach is what turned the Padres around. That's not tongue-in-cheek at all.
That's a fact.
We're going to kiss it before roach. Paulie, give it a kiss before the end of the show, because they start a new series today in Pittsburgh. So see if the magic of the rally roach continues. And then when the Padres win the World Series, there'll be pieces written on the rally roach as though it actually had something to do with it, like Golden Tee had anything to do with Jackson Holliday.
100%. Let's go to the Olympics. We'll wrap it up here. Did you guys see the video of the French pole vaulter?
I have not seen this yet.
Hmm. I saw the...
You know what I'm talking about.
So there's a Swedish pole vaulter who won and set the world record, but he's not really Swedish. He went to LSU. He grew up in Louisiana. But his dad or his mom competed for Sweden when she was a kid, so he was able to... He's on the Swedish team, but he won the... He had the world record and the thing. But no, I had not seen the French pole vaulter.
A couple of days ago, pole vaulter by the name of Anthony Amirati, he was going up and over the pole.
The bar.
The bar. And a body part of his may have grazed the bar, and he was disqualified. It didn't count.
Okay, I actually did see this. It got caught on the big unit, essentially.
Oh,
yeah.
Lord.
Yeah.
That's what their kids are calling it this time?
Well, I mean, Randy Johnson, you know, that's it, you can, it really, it did. It knocked the bar off.
I mean, I saw it slowed down, zoomed in, and it's pretty clear exactly what happened there, what part of his body hit the bar as he was trying to go up and over,
and that's why I couldn't be a pole vaulter, right there. Right there, I couldn't do it.
And the update
that's just
on that
a
story.
Stereotype, Wale. That's just a stereotype.
Is this morning radio?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Don't play into those stereotypes unless, of course, they're beneficial to you personally. And then go ahead and play into all the stereotypes you want, right?
Well, he didn't win at the Olympics, but there's an adult website that has offered him six figures. $250,000 for a 60-minute webcam show where he would show everything.
He did this on purpose. It's like he's got the biggest stage. He's got the Olympics. This was genius. This was freaking genius.
I don't know. I mean, they're up like, you know, what? How many feet in the air? They're up like
I don't know how high
8 feet
practiced.
Up in the air on the over that pole. I don't think you could actually plan that, right?
He was up all night practicing. Like, I got to make it so I barely graze it with this, and then it'll blow up, and I will have my own show on a different website.
I mean, if you really, though, I mean, most of those Olympic athletes take nothing to chance. Like, every detail is accounted for. So wouldn't that be, like, one of the details that you'd have to have it
That's a good
tucked?
Point.
Yeah. Well, tucked, just to make sure that last little tiny inch, because, you know, track and field can be, like, millimeters. You saw the 100-meter final. It was, like, five thousandth of a second. I mean, the difference between where
and Jamaica's gonna take
his torso like hit. It's like the other guy's foot got there first, but it's not measured by what like the first body part that gets to the line. It's where the torso gets. That's how close it was. And in pole vaulting, if you get by a fraction of a centimeter over, it's the difference of between knocking it down and not, and clearing the bar.
Football is a game of inches. Track and field is a game of hairs. When I ran track and field, they would tell us.
What was your event?
So I tried all the events, but my main one was hurdles. And I will tell people to this day, the hardest event in track and field is some states have the 300, some states have the 400, but the 300 or 400 meter hurdles is the hardest event there is because you are sprinting and jumping for 400 or 300 meters, and you are exhausted afterward. But I did it.
That's like a quarter of a mile, right?
Basically. And you're just exhausted. But yeah, my coaches would tell me you got to shave the hair on your lower arms and legs because it's literally even the hair on your body makes
drag.
It makes a drag for a
swimmers. Obviously, do the same thing. They're well shaved. Obviously, you never see a hairy Olympic swimmer.
Exactly.
That's for sure. And obviously, some of those guys do have body hair. They weren't just naturally all born hairless and made them great swimmers. There's like meticulous, you know, depilatory creams and shaving that goes as part of the sport.
100%.
I didn't know track did it as well, though.
You know, it is a game of hairs, and any advantage you can get from the start to the finish. You see how they lean. There's a method to every millisecond of that race, and even with pole vaulting, you're right. For 4 years, you were training on every bit of the takeoff, how I put the stick, how I execute the jump, how I execute the landing. How I make sure all my body parts stay away from the pole. Like, that is all practice. You're 100% right. So either he did it on purpose or his coach missed or maybe he had a female coach. I don't know. But they missed something. You're absolutely right.
Paulie, thank you very much.
Happy to help.
All right. We're going to take a quick time out, check traffic. When we come back, Wally's going to share some of his crazy TV stories. We all have them. And then I want to play, Wally, some of our news, local news clips that we've amassed over the years.
And I might even tell you some of my news bloopers from early in my career, too.
Oh, you got some, too. I'm not the only one with a blooper, too.
I didn't get
hit
by a car, but yeah. I have some funny ones.
And we can't all be me getting run over by a car on live television. Back after traffic here with Ben and Wale on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I got a substitute W here instead of Ben and Woods. It's Ben and Wale in with me and Paul Rindle for the
shout out to all the W's out there.
W name. So Wale is my colleague at ABC 10 News. He's our evening anchor with Kimberly Hunt, and I have been teasing it. So he's promised to tell me a couple of the crazy stories he's covered and some of the mistakes, mishaps that have happened on television as well in your career.
Where do we want to start?
Let's start with your crazy stories, so, and then we'll get into the fun stuff.
I have
stuff.
Good crazy and bad crazy. I'm not going to, you know, I have some, like, really just, like, sad downer stories.
Well, don't bring everyone
I don't
down.
I don't bring downers. I mean, like, I was, you know, there in Cleveland, like, when Tamir Rice was shot as, like, the first guy to, like, interview his mom. And, like, I have some, like, really sad stories. Like, but I'm going to keep it, like, fun and light. I think, for me, just, like, I alluded to it earlier, but still the most memorable of my career is LeBron's first game back in Cleveland after, in 2016, they were playing the Knicks, Melo and Phil Jackson, all these guys, you know. And if you watch that TNT broadcast that night, everybody was waiting for the powder toss and all that stuff. LeBron's first game back. It was the most electric atmosphere I think I've probably ever been in my life. It was insane. And if you go back and watch that TNT broadcast, there's LeBron throwing the powder, and there's like a little itty-bitty, you know, black guy right in the back there with his phone filming. And I was literally right there. I mean, it was insane. I mean,
So, you know, I'm thinking about that. Obviously, you know, with getting drafted, the native Ohio, and then they started getting good, and they came close. And then the decision, and I mean, it must have gutted that city. So to get him back.
Cleveland is literally, and it is literally two different cities with and without LeBron. Without LeBron, I hear people say mistake by the lake. But when LeBron was there, the energy of that city, it was totally different.
I got the sense, though, when he left the second time, it wasn't as painful.
No.
Because he got the championship.
Like, what else do you want? 50-year drought.
Like, big fish in a small pond out there, where in L.A., he's a big fish
in a big pond
with a lot of other big fishes.
But he's still one of the biggest fishes.
still, but it's not, it's not.
So, you got to cover him. And Paul, you know, Paulie and I were talking about this, I think, off the air yesterday, about LeBron and in the spotlight for as long as he has been. And he gets a lot of criticism. I mean, from the talking heads, you know, Skip and everybody. Yep. And yet, he has handled himself incredibly well, considering that level of scrutiny that he's been under. I mean, the worst misstep was probably the decision.
I tell people all the time, based on the 2 years I lived in Cleveland, I will never, ever, ever say a bad thing about LeBron. I just won't. I mean, I hear, you know, the flopping, the complaining, whiny LeBron. Okay, that's fine. The man it's literally one of the greatest sports stories of all time. It really, I mean, and then now what he's doing with the Sun? Are you kidding me? The guy, I mean, I would cover so many stories in Cleveland. Like, I remember one specific when he built a huge playground in Akron for the kids, and just being there with the kids interacting. I mean, the man, you know, I didn't even mention like the schools that he's building, LeBron Family Foundation, but just lifting an entire city. I mean, even the crime was down. When I mean, he literally, one man can change an entire city franchise. But look how the landscape of the NBA, even the decision, is say what you want about that, but he kind of orchestrated player empowerment. Like, the guy, everything he touches, and then for him to come into the league with that much pressure, I mean, look at Caitlin Clark now, look at Wembanyama, look at all these people to come in with this much pressure, and we'll see how they do, time will tell. But the man hasn't really had, you mentioned the decision, but other than that, hasn't really had a misstep. And everybody else, especially this day of social media, would have been caught up with something, right? But the man, I just won't say a bad thing about him. The man is some people are just special.
I look at, like, Tiger Woods,
yeah,
who seemed like he was flawless for so long, but growing up with that kind of scrutiny, with those kind of expectations, they got to take a toll. But at this point, I'd be very surprised. If LeBron's not the LeBron that we see, Tiger surprised me a little bit when we found out about him. But that, he was still about, what, 32 or so when we finally kind of learned the real Tiger. I mean, LeBron's LeBron, and he has done...
I think playing the majority of his career with social media, too, is different. Like, can you imagine if Michael Jordan's era had social media and somebody was like, yo, I'm at a craps table right now, and Michael Jordan just dropped $2 million. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that, he wouldn't be able to have lived that lifestyle, and LeBron's been under that spotlight his entire career, and, I mean, seems like a pretty good dad.
Social justice issues, speaking out. I mean, say what you want, get political or whatever, but it's just like... The man's special, and just the impact that he's been able to make. And then I brought it up, Bronny. I mean, the fact that you're in the NBA 20 years later and playing with people's fathers and three generations of players, and now you bring your own son in, I mean, it's next level.
And not only is he still in the NBA, but he's on the Team USA right now and arguably has been the best player on Team USA.
1,000 years old!
With all of those stars on the team, and he's still been the best player on the team.
Joel Embiid is supposed to be the best player. He's the most recent MVP, right? You have Anthony Edwards coming
up. He's been pathetic.
Jason Tatum just won the finals MVP. Steph Curry, who's, you know, Steph Curry. But it's LeBron.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Kevin Durant, it's still LeBron.
So, all right. So now share us what's gone wrong on television.
Okay. So, I was going to wait till you guys did the bloopers. But so my first, I love telling this, I don't love, but I tell the story sometimes of my first big blooper on TV, and it was one of my first live shots ever. And for those, you know, live shots, when you're standing out there in the middle of God knows where trying to explain what's happening around you, and when you're first getting this industry, you know, you're terrified, you're sweating bullets, like, it's live TV, I gotta go live, and it's like they come out to you and you just gotta be ready. So it was a huge thing, especially, and it still kind of is, where they want you to kind of be active and demonstrative in your live shots. Like, show us something. Don't just, you know, don't just sit there and stand there and tell us. Show us something. So they would encourage you to use props. So I don't remember what the story was about. Something about 7 seconds. So I brought out a stopwatch, and I was going to be like, and I practiced it 1,000 times before they came to me. And I was like, I'm going to click the stopwatch. I'm going to say what I need to say. I'm going to stop it at the 7 second mark. I'm going to hold the stopwatch up to the camera and show seven. Yeah. And just kind of really hone in the point of 7 seconds. Boom. This is going to be the greatest live shot in television history. I've practiced it. I'm ready. All right, let's go.
And then what happened?
They come out to me. All right, Wale, blah, blah, blah. What do you know? All right, so boom, 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 boom. Start the stopwatch. Everything's going according to plan. This is going to be great. This is going to be great, Vin. It's going to be amazing. All right, start the stopwatch. Blah, 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 blah. In 7 seconds, and I look at the stopwatch, and I realize I forgot to clear it out.
Oh, no.
So instead of being at seven, now it's at 14. What am I supposed to do? What would you do? I don't know. I panicked, and I threw the stopwatch over my shoulder, and I pretended I never had it in my hand.
No stopwatch there. All right, that's not too bad. That's not the worst thing. Now, what I love about Wale, and Paulie, get that clip ready, because Wale, as you hear, same kind of guy. When you watch him on television, you bring you. You don't really change your delivery. You don't change anything about you. But there are
television reporters and anchors who have their anchor voice and then their speaking voice.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
It's totally different. And we loved this clip from, you've probably seen it virally on
this
YouTube.
This is old, but yeah.
This is old from South Carolina, was it?
I think so.
Yeah.
What really happened on that Thursday here at Augusta High School that led to Chris Wood's death?
The f*** is that? I'm dying in this f***ing country right now.
You've seen it.
Flying in my mouth. The f***, I can't see pilot. Let's get the f*** out of this country, mother. I can't see me.
So, here's, okay, this is going to blow you guys up. I met this guy.
No, you didn't.
Oh, I met this guy. I met this guy. So, he's doing well. He's doing well in his career. I think he was on Houston, Texas, the last time I talked to him. But this is a
I actually think I've tried to track him down specifically. Yeah.
No,
he's that clip.
He's a great guy. He gets the questions all the time about it. And I remember showing that you brought up Kimberly. I remember showing this to Kimberly one time. She was just dying. But no, the guy's a good. It's real. Like, especially early in your career, you're out in the middle of nowhere. And you know, okay, when you do a live shot, especially at night, what happens? You got to turn on lights, you know, so the bugs start flying near you. I think this clip, it was in the middle of the day, but still, like, I think it was like in the middle of a cornfield somewhere or something, and there's like bugs, and you're right, you're like talking, and then you got bugs flying in your, I heard somewhere that like bugs like are attracted to like oxygen, so they'll like literally fly in your nose where you're breathing your mouth, and it's like, I'm trying to talk, get the heck away from me, you stupid bug. So that was really, he was just like, you get, and you're sweating, you're in a suit, you're like, I totally get it. But the guy, he's great. He still laughs about it to this day.
So
it probably advanced his career, honestly.
That's the hazards being out in the field, but there are also hazards in studio when you're anchoring and just reading the prompter.
Oh, gosh.
And I know we all try to, you know, practice, and you get the tough names that sometimes can be difficult.
And it's a compo.
Yeah. This one was always one of our favorites. This woman, do you remember where she was from?
I'm trying to look it up. It is WPSD. I don't know where that's from. But, she was doing a story about a police officer, and here's how it sounded.
Final goodbyes to this fallen Louisville police officer, D.D. Megadudu. I'm sorry, Mangudu.
Also not accurate.
Megadudu. That's where you guys got that from, because I keep hearing it.
Yeah, that's we do this every day in honor of D.D. Megadudu. Which it sounds like it was a sad story. It's, I mean, you're trying to be solemn, you know, and I get it. And there are real, you know, TV newscasters actually do have real emotions from time to time. Yeah. But you also have to present.
Final goodbyes to this fallen Louisville police officer, D.D. Megadudu.
Deidre.
I'm sorry, Mangudu.
Not it.
It looks like Deidre Mengado, it looks like. Yeah.
You know what it is? You just, you know, you're reading, and it's been a long day. You just did 7 shows. You're like, okay.
I mean, you can't make an emotional connection with every single story. You just can't. You're just reading it, and you just got to keep and move on to the next one.
But D.D. Megadudu, come on.
D.D. Megadudu.
There was another funny one. I remember during the crazy 2020 election, and then they would always talk about a voter dump, right? Like a new dump of ballots. And then, and I remember a reporter saying, they're about to go take, you know, they're about to drop off a mega dump here. So that one got clipped and highlighted. It's just like Megadudu.
Paul, you would never clip me out of context.
Oh, of course
God,
not.
No.
And play something I said and make it sound dirty.
Oh, my God, I'm high.
Hooter Research. Could you imagine if they were doing that at Channel 10 to you every single day, clipping you out of context?
I had one a year ago, and I think I was doing a story about kids or something like that, and they had, it was a brand new school. I can't remember which school it was, but they had the brand new playground, and it was cute, and they had set up like these balls for kids to like jump and play on outside. And I was like, look at these big balls. And it was just like, and you know, it came out, and then I, you know, my producers start laughing. I'm like, oh yeah, that just happened.
Do you still have "Don't Do This" from today? The clip from the game about Bryce Harper and his pants. That was a good one. I mean,
you know, just as Bryce went with his pants up, I'm not sure I've seen Garrett with his pants down. That didn't sound right, did it?
That didn't sound right at all, buddy.
It sure did not.
It would only been worse if he said, I've actually seen him with his pants down before.
Like, I'm sorry, what?
What?
All right, one more timeout. Final segment coming up. We're going to look ahead. Padres and Pittsburgh Pirates opening a 3-game series later this afternoon. We got Wale in for one more segment, then Annie and Elston join you at the top of the hour. Do not go anywhere.
Unless you got a mega doo-doo.
Yeah, unless you have to, mega doo-doo. Thank you. Next on 97.3 The Fan. We'll be right back.
Now to the story of a pig that is inspiring others. One potbelly pig has certainly endured his share of problems. Chris P. Bacon was born without the use of his
It's the chuckle for me.
Yeah. It's like a pig in a wheelchair.
Yeah, you have to read this story.
It's and when it's off the rails, it's so hard to bring it back. I got to tell you, it's so hard.
You know, it's funny.
We cannot. Oh my God,
Chris P. Bacon.
I've never lost it on television. But
you lose it in all
I lose
the time
it in here all the time. Maybe Woods is. You guys are just funnier.
My goal tonight, if you guys watch ABC 10 News, is to make Ben lose it tonight.
You can
Let's
try.
See if we can do
I
it.
Mean,
we call it Breaking.
Yeah,
Bad.
We have a whole name for it. He plays the Breaking. The Breaking Bad little sounder. Because when I lose it, I fall out of my chair.
Here's one.
And this is Live Your Life from Article Sound System, released 5 years ago.
Otherwise known as ass.
Yeah. Article Sound System.
Got it.
He's gone.
Did they not think you were?
We just let him go.
He's still going.
He's done.
He's done.
His headphones fell off. The whole thing.
Damn, you fell out of his chair.
You guys ever see the clip of the...
I'm not done yet.
Oh, he's still going.
Still got another 45 seconds.
Got him.
We got him.
Done, dude. This may be number one.
My stomach hurts.
That's the worst when your stomach starts to tighten.
Oh, God, that's good. Kills me.
You guys ever see the clip of the guy, you know, I always tell my producers, I was like, please do not ever put the word pantry in a newscast. Just don't do it. It's not worth it because you'll end up like the guy who goes, please check your panties. I meant pantries. And I was like, can't do it.
Do you have any words you just don't like saying? Like, they're tough for you?
You know what's funny?
Woods hates when I say moist. It just bothers him. But
yeah.
I've heard a lot of women say that.
Yeah, the word I hate is February. It's just like, am I supposed to pronounce the R?
February.
I just say February.
I think the R is silent. Isn't it February?
Some people say February.
It's right in between.
Yeah,
that is a tough one.
I don't mess with it.
I'm going to think about it.
I don't mess with it.
I don't have to worry about it until spring training. we got some time.
Or the funny one, Kimberly and I always joke about this, is like, and we've talked about it too, back, you know, last year, Qatar.
It changed on us.
It did. So I'm like, I don't know what to do with that one. I just, you know, because the locals will say, you know, it's good. Try to pronounce it the way we do. But then you end up sounding dumb because you don't make the same sounds.
I've always had trouble with that, because if you want to pronounce something the way it's pronounced, like in another country,
right,
then you have to start putting on an accent. Like, if you pronounce something like how the Australians say it, you're going to sound like a dork.
Like you're trying to be pretentious.
Do an Australian accent.
How to speak Australian.
So that,
she is, mates.
Yeah. Paulie's got sound.
He's ready
for
to go.
Everything. All right, let's check one more traffic check out there with Kelly, and then want to look ahead.
What the bloody hell was that attempt at an Aussie accent?
We'll check traffic and then look ahead. Padres game this afternoon here on 97.3 The Fan. Hang on. The chat also reminding me that I cannot roll my R's, and I've been trying and practicing. You can do it. Wally can do it. He's got it. Turn on his microphone. Turn on your microphone now. You've got it. I can't. And they gave me a trick. They said, try saying, potty, and use that potty. As a way to okay. roll your R's. But then I try to say a word
still
like
Badia.
I can't. I still can't do it. I just
I actually don't love the R's. I mentioned February. I have to say this word every single day. Meteorologist.
Meteorologist Megan Perry.
Yeah, I have to say it every day, and I'm like, I gotta like slow down and pronounce the orologist. And it's like, yeah, R's aren't my favorite. And then B's and D's can be funny sometimes, you know, but. Yeah.
Hazards of being a television newscaster with Wale Aliyu.
There you go.
All right, Padres this afternoon. It's a 3:40 start there in Pittsburgh. So first game of a three-game series. 2:40 pregame show, EcoWater SoCal pregame show with Sam Levitt. Getting ready for another Dylan Cease start. Boy, he has been beyond outstanding since the All-Star break and even before. His last four starts, 27 and two-thirds innings, five hits, one earned run, 36 strikeouts, including that no-hitter against the Washington Nationals on July 25th. He's going up against Pirates left-hander Bailey Falter, who's been he's been solid. Pirates are a decent team. They're a game above 500, though. They're four games out of a playoff spot. And while this is, of course, an immensely important series for the Padres and an important road trip, pretty much make or break now for the Pirates. If they lose any more ground, they're going to kind of be in the boat where you're not going to really feel like, unless you do something like roll off a 20-game winning streak, it's going to be really hard to come from behind. So expect the Pittsburgh Pirates to play like their season is on the line, because in some ways, even though it's early August, it is in some ways on the line for the Pittsburgh Pirates here. They got four or five teams ahead of them in the standings, and this is a chance for them to directly make up ground. I guarantee you, the Pirates fans are going, at least in their minds, hey, we could sweep this series, pick up three games right here. We're right back in this thing. So last thing the Padres are going to do, I'm sure, is take the Pirates lightly. But the best way to start it would be to get another great start from Dylan Cease today, get the win in the first game of the series, and then have two chances the next 2 days to get the series victory, and then on to Miami over the weekend, and hopefully you'll have a good chance against a Marlins team that obviously sold off a lot at the break. They've won a couple of games since then. They're not as bad as the White Sox, certainly, but hopefully an opportunity to have a winning road trip. Tomorrow's Michael King against Marco Gonzalez, and the Padres still have not named a starter for the Thursday game in the series. I'm guessing, you know, Martin Perez might get that on normal rest. Could be Randy Vasquez. Still waiting to hear how Joe Musgrove did in his, or at least recovered from his rehab start yesterday. I imagine Mike Shield will have a bit of an update for you on Sammy's pregame show on how Joe did and how he felt, especially because he was supposed to be joining the team in Pittsburgh, and then they were going to decide whether he's going to have another rehab start or just rejoin the starting rotation. So that's this series coming up against the Pittsburgh Pirates. A couple other baseball notes just quickly. I saw yesterday, Paulie, on the Foul Territory podcast that Blake Snell, did you see this? I was surprised. And he said,
I saw he was doing the rounds. I didn't see this particular.
Yeah, so he said that he never got a call from the Seattle Mariners in the offseason.
Really?
When he was a free agent. Not even a single call. And he immediately said, I was kind of surprised by that. And then he said, but, you know, and not, I know, you know, what they are as a franchise, and, you know, his price tag was high. But given the fact that he's a Seattle native, won the Cy Young, and they were a team that was expected to kind of be going for it and investing in, you know, in the club.
Right.
The fact that there wasn't even a discussion about that is a little surprising to me.
Yeah, that is surprising, because that's where everyone was like, oh, that's the lock. That's a no-brainer. That's exactly what's going to happen. And to not even get a call. And I also saw that he said that the reporting on what the Yankees offered him, 6 years, 150, was very much not what they actually offered him.
Yeah. He also, and I heard Tony Gwynn Jr. talking about this yesterday on Gwynn and Chris, he told Tony he still watches when they don't have a game. He still watches Don and Mudd and watches the Padres games and keeps pretty close tabs. Because he heard like something Tony had said about him while watching the game. And he definitely said he is not... he has not abandoned his love for the Padres. Still feels very connected and close to the organization. And I just bring it up because there's a good chance he's going to opt out as a free agent. We have no idea what the Padres would do. I don't imagine a reunion with Blake Snell. I mean, if it didn't happen at the trade deadline,
that's the only one I really could have possibly seen. Because knowing he's going to opt out, the trade deadline would have made a little bit of sense.
But
But if the Seattle Mariners aren't interested and, you know, he wants to go somewhere where he's comfortable, definitely comfortable in San Diego, probably getting more comfortable in San Francisco start after start. A no-hitter is not going to make him feel uncomfortable in San Francisco, sure. To be sure. So, and they're a team that's still on the fringes of the wild card race as well. So lots of baseball this week. Got football preseason starting this week, full-time Wale. So, you know, we got a lot of sports coming up here. Fall is here, yeah. Uh-huh. San Diego State football is underway. They've got their fan fest on Saturday, I saw. Wow. And a new coach, and we'll see what they do. You know, it's obviously been San Diego State football has never been a powerhouse, but
they've
been better than the last couple of years when you were here. They've been better than that. It's been a pretty bad couple of years, and they got the new coach, so they're going to try to turn things around this season.
Try to get a different culture, try to get some wins under their belt. Let's see what happens.
Not easy to do, especially in college sports nowadays. You said you went to Missouri.
Yeah.
So with all the realignment and everything in college sports, now Missouri's still in the Big 12, right? Did they move?
No,
they went to the SEC.
SEC. They're SEC.
Can't even keep track with everything. Yeah. So the SEC now 16 teams. Texas and Oklahoma are there as well.
Mm-hmm. You have powerhouses like LSU too.
I mean, it's good to be, obviously, not, you know, San Diego State got locked out of the Pac-12 and they're still in the Mountain West. Missouri didn't get locked out. They got in, but they're definitely one of the have-nots of the SEC, I would say.
It's funny because Missouri is our team felt a little bit like the Padres, where you always just like, okay, we have a lot of excitement this year, and you just expect something to go wrong. Like, the primary story I will tell is Michael Porter Jr., who, you know, is now a champion with the Denver Nuggets. He was like the number one prospect coming out of high school that year, and it's like Missouri lands for the first time ever, like, number one prospect. The man plays 2 minutes, and then his back goes out. I'm like, oh, like, you can't win. I mean, you can't get lucky at all.
Well, Wale, I really appreciate you coming in and spending some time in studio, getting to know you a little bit more. I will see you later this evening back at our other place of employment, ABC 10 News. But and you got a trip coming up. That's exciting.
Yes.
So, very fun. So anyway, I appreciate you sitting down with us, and we'll have to do it again sometime.
I'd love to be back.
All right, that is it for us, and that should be it for Woods' vacation. Tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., we'll get all the stories.
Grind.
How it went, travel with Woods. He always comes pretty strong out of vacation. And Paulie and I are probably just going to sit back and listen to him for four hours tomorrow. Yeah, we're not doing anything tomorrow. Annie and Elston are up next for Paul Rondo, for Wale Aliu. I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Tuesday from all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.